Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. Welcome to episode 68. They came from the breach. What's going on, Johnny?
Not much.
Are you awake?
Kind of.
All right. So for those of you in podcast land, we are recording on Thursday as usual. It's been a busy day. We got a new Wonder Woman trailer. We got some cool Defenders news. And we found out a special casting on Talia al Ghul. So that's going to be our news bits.
Yeah.
Whatever for the week. And then we are going to do a Certified Infamous movie.
Yeah.
Certified Infamous movie review, perhaps. We're going to talk about the 2013, I can't believe it was that long ago.
Wow.
Smash hit, Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
All right.
It's been that long. Wow.
Yeah. So I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is why we're going to talk about it. All right. So first things first, the Defenders. It is a gigantic cast.
Yeah.
They essentially have all of the series regulars.
For every cast.
For every cast, plus Sigourney Weaver.
Right.
So, interesting thing, we get Colleen Wing, martial arts whiz, played by Jessica Henwick from Iron Fist, which comes out in 2017. Obviously, Danny Rand then.
Yeah.
Then we have Luke Cage. Hopefully, out of Defenders, we'll get Heroes for Hire.
That'd be cool, yeah.
We have my girl Simone Missick as Misty Knight.
Yep.
She's so fine. you know, obviously Luke Cage. Oh, come on, stupid ads. And then Trish Walker, which I don't get it, but unless they're going to turn her into the Wildcat.
Hellcat.
Character. That's what I meant. I don't really see the purpose for her or Malcolm Duquesne, which is Eka Darville.
She was in Luke Cage, if you weren't.
Well, her voice.
Right, yeah. But so, I mean, she's
so
still.
So maybe
there
that's
in
what
universe.
It'll be. It'll just be kind of the voice.
She's the voice on the street.
Yeah. And then Malcolm from Jessica Jones, who was played by Eka Darville, who was on Spartacus.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't really see the point for him in Defenders.
After the whole thing with Purple Man,
yeah,
like that whole spell being broke, his true colors were there of being a charitable worker, and
right.
Type of, so I'm sure that'll tie into it somehow.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I don't know, like they
it
have
kind of makes
episodes.
Sense if they tie together everything that's been going on with Fisk and with
maybe
Purple Man and Luke Cage.
Diamondback.
Yeah. Yes, I forgot his name.
I just feel like
whiny,
you know, I mean,
brother.
We're about
whiny brother.
Whiny brother. We're about halfway through this cast list, and you know, it's like there's only 13 episodes.
Rumors are John Bernthal might show up.
I know. So,
you know.
And then we have Carrie Ann
Ghost
Moss.
Ghost Rider could show up.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, who knows? Who
Agent Coulson could show up, which he probably should. But Carrie Ann Moss comes back as Jerry Hogarth, and then you have Jessica Jones, Kristen Ritter, Stick. Who we know that from the preview already.
Right.
How are you going to save these people?
Well, Stick's the one that's going to get them all together. Yeah. I mean, that's obvious.
He's the Coulson. Claire Temple, Rosario Dawson is back as Night Nurse.
She's a recurring
She's the glue that puts everything together. And then we got Karen Page coming back with Deborah Ann Woll there. And then Foggy Nelson, Eldon Henson. And then obviously Daredevil with Matt Murdock and Charlie.
Who do
Cox.
You think, besides Sigourney Weaver, there's got to be some enforcer villains?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think that we might get Bullseye?
No, I think so. If we get Bullseye, I think it'll be kind of at the end.
Yeah.
Because Bullseye needs to be an overarching villain for a Daredevil story.
Right.
You know, I don't think he needs to be the overarching villain for 13 episodes. But definitely for part of that story.
Right.
So, because I think Fisk is going to just kind of be the big bad in Daredevil's
life. Kill Karen Page
in
Defenders.
Yeah.
Bullseye kills Karen Page and then it carries over into the Daredevil.
No Elektra.
No surprise there.
Which
that's going to be the overcarrying arc.
For Daredevil.
For Daredevil,
but, I don't know. I'm excited about Defenders. It looks good. It looks like it's
sounds
good.
Good.
Sounds good is what I meant to say. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's going to be cool to see a team up with some of these characters. Mm-hmm. I do think that they need to tie it a little bit more to the cinematic slash TV universe.
Do you think that the like the street level hero story will be a little more accessible than the, you know, the Avengers where
well, it's like what I said with Luke Cage. If they want to do this, they have to give us a timeline.
Yeah.
Does this take place before Sokovia, before Age of Ultron, after Age of Ultron, before Civil War? What is going to be the defining moment in Marvel Cinematic Universe history that right. these people are in? And will somebody from the MCU show
yeah.
up
yeah.
to define that moment?
I think having Coulson show up helps. You know, since the Inhuman movie's been scrapped and the
for now, yeah.
But there's no like Inhuman show on the horizon,
right?
The other thing that they could do is they could bring in Bobby Morse.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
and Nick Blood, whatever his character's name right. was, to you know, to kind of help tie that together yeah. a little bit. And
yeah, it'd be nice to see Nick Blood and Adrian yeah. Padalecki back in right. some way or another. And I think that that's the thing, is my major issue with mm-hmm. the Netflix series is, where are they taking place in this universe?
Yeah.
Obviously they take place after Avengers, but where in the timeline are they fitting?
Right, right.
And why hasn't anybody shown up?
Yeah. As much as I've enjoyed S.H.I.E.L.D. this season,
yeah,
like, because it's been really good, it needs Nick Blood back.
Well, yeah.
You know, he was a great shot in the arm for that show. All right, moving on to Arrow casting news.
Yeah, yeah.
We have Talia al Ghul coming to Star
City.
Well,
she was mentioned on Legends of Tomorrow.
She was mentioned on Arrow.
Was she?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But.
So, anyway, it's Lexa...
I think it's
Duig.
Duig. Yeah, Duig? I think it's Duig.
She was on Andromeda, Continuum, Stargate SG-1, the 4400... I mean, she's been on Supernatural, Eureka, Smallville, and Primeval. Yeah. So, I mean, she's a genre, like, you know, pro at this yep. point. She's beautiful.
I just remember her from yeah. Andromeda.
Yeah.
She was Andromeda.
Right.
So.
I'm stoked to see her play Talia. I'm actually stoked to see Talia.
Yeah.
Again, though.
Are we getting Batman? I mean,
well,
you know.
So, I think if they're not going to let them use Batman, they need to give up the Nightwing. Right?
Well, yeah.
Have Nightwing on, or at the very least,
my thing
Red
is,
Hood
I don't need to see Batman show up,
right.
but subsidiary characters like Red Hood or Nightwing could show up mm-hmm. and, you know, be the tie to go, oh yeah, there's a Batman in this
right,
universe.
Right, right.
And he's fighting the same fight as Arrow, except in his city, and
right.
he's not the mayor, and he's yeah. not, you know, he's doing it a different way, but...
He's fighting the same fight, but with Batarangs instead
of I mean, if
we arrows.
Got Superman on Supergirl... Why can't we get a mention at least of Batman?
So the reason I don't think they're going to do that is because Tyler Holcomb was so much more popular than I think they thought he was going to be.
You know, he smiled.
Well, he was Superman.
Yeah.
So flat out. You did not watch the current. You're a week behind, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't watched. I watched.
You watched when Church captured Wild Dog.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I haven't got it any further than that. Yeah.
This week, okay, so
yeah,
Arrow,
I'm a week behind on all the DC yeah. and the Marvel, so okay. I haven't seen the origin of Ghost
yeah,
Rider.
I haven't watched that one either. I'm yeah. watching it tonight. But
seen cool picture, but mm-hmm. and yeah. like nothing was a spoiler because it's like you knew that they were gonna have to mention other Ghost Riders,
right? Right.
And that, so that, but, I mean, that's fair.
I'm excited to see her show up, especially with the direction Arrow's going right now.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll get Nyssa Al Ghul back.
I think
hopefully we do.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, so Prometheus had a little more this week.
Okay.
And, you know, you've heard the rumors of who people think it is.
No.
People think it's Tommy Merlin.
Really?
Yeah. But it's like,
I think it's that yeah. DA they introduced.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I really do. I think it's the DA they introduced.
But, I don't know, man. It, like I said, it's been really good, but excited to see that. The whole human target thing
yeah.
was really cool. And it was Nuke. From Jessica Jones.
Right, that's what you said.
Which I was telling you, it was really weird to watch him play...
Christopher Chance?
Play someone who wasn't Nuke.
Oh, because he kind of went over the edge?
Yeah, well, I mean, he was so great in that role.
Right.
But yeah, all right. And then the last thing, the Wonder Woman trailer.
Yeah.
As we were walking in, I made my joke, oh, it's Wonder Woman, the first Avenger. And then
I said they should have just called it Wonder Woman, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah. So I tell you what, this trailer, as compared to the other one that we saw,
yeah,
with all the slow-mo fighting and the, like, you know, the out of place, like super gold lariat and things like that on the dark background. Like, if this one definitely feels like a movie I want to see.
Wait, and I watched it earlier with the girlfriend, and I said, this looks very similar to Captain America. And she's like, yeah, it does. And I said, well, that'll be what brings people in.
But you know what? Like, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, one, it's World War One instead of World War Two. Two, it's a female superhero versus a male superhero. And then a male military liaison versus female. But, you know, it just
they gender swapped everybody.
But she looks great as Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah, she did in Batman versus Superman.
So. Chris Pine, like, is he's awesome. I love that guy.
I'm very curious to see if he flies into the ice at the end of the movie and they wake him up. Like,
yeah, but you know, I like the time frame. I like, you know, this is one where I think doing like the prequel kind of thing totally works.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Whereas like with the Batman movie, like, they don't need to go back.
Oh, like, tell an origin?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
well, that's the thing, is like Wonder Woman's had many origins over the years, so this is going to be a movie origin that will tie to everything.
Right.
Whereas Batman, we know parents die. Yeah. He became Batman.
Yeah, and the mystical bats flew him up. Clark, that was a dream sequence.
Clark
What's
Kent
up? Yeah.
Flew from another planet, landed on a farm, and became Clark Kent.
What do you think of all the slow motion that we see, though? Do you think it's just for the preview?
It's just preview, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. So,
I don't think you like slow motion. The only thing I think slow motion that you'll see in the movie that's in the preview is when she comes up the ladder.
Yeah.
And the battlefield.
Yeah.
And I think once she's up and they start shooting at her, it's going to be all hell breaks loose type thing. And but, you'll hear that.
So that little na 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 na.
Yeah.
Like, it reminds me of something, but I don't know what it is.
Xena. It's Xena.
Yeah.
It totally is Xena.
Okay. I did like the little tag at the end.
Oh, with Edda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm partial to a little fisticuffs.
Yeah.
But no, this looks great. I think IGN or somebody had a like post like, is this gonna be DC's first viable hit?
That might be.
You know, so I think with this one we'll really see.
I really think that Suicide Squad was. It did really well.
It did well monetarily. I rewatched it again not too long ago.
I don't think that like they were unhappy with it. As,
no.
As well, much already... as it seemed like they were unhappy with Superman versus Batman on a monetary scale, they were happy with Suicide Squad.
They've already greenlit a sequel.
Right.
They've greenlit Harley Quinn standalone.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, like I said, I'm definitely, this is one I'm super excited to see. Mainly because it is so different.
Well, yeah.
Than like, you know, it's different than the Nolan stuff. It's different than the Richard Donner stuff from back in the day.
Do you think that
it's definitely
being
different
that
from the
it's
Tim
a
Burton.
Female director directing a female superhero that it helps?
You know, I think as long as she is the best director for the job,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we won't know until we get to see it. Was just a thing to do to like. Maybe. Bring in a female director, but you know, it's like, you know, the action sequences in there looked really awesome.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
I mean, you know, there's
the intimacy is in there. You
there's
see
a
that
lot of great female
Steve,
directors
so.
Out there. So if this is them giving someone a chance, that's
yeah,
the right
but
person.
It's like I know what did they announce where every episode of Jessica Jones is going to be a female director. But, and I'm like, what is that? It's
so,
like, is that a ploy?
Well,
or?
And so my thought on that, right, is great way to go, Marvel. But, like, how about you don't self-congratulate yourself? You let people, like, figure that out.
Yeah.
Like, and be like, oh, wait, that's cool. They had someone, you know, because now I think it puts an unfair, you know, oh, this is a female-led series. Like, it all of a sudden becomes inaccessible for a certain group of people that aren't us. But, you know, you had the whole thing, you know, last week we called the episode Ask Us About Our Halloween Agenda.
Yeah.
You know, kind of newsjacking the whole... Chelsea Kane thing with Mockingbird.
Right.
But like at the end of the day, when you go and you put that like that label on there, I think you unfairly prejudice certain people against it who would watch it and see what happened and, you know, come out of that and then find out it was a female director and be like, oh, that's awesome. I should give more things like this a chance rather than like, oh, well, you're forcing diversity on me or whatever. So,
but I can't wait for the Penny Marshall episode.
Oh, God. Is there, is she?
Directing? I don't know, but she's a female director. Why wouldn't you try and get Penny Marshall to direct an episode?
I don't know if I'd want Penny Marshall doing superhero
Penny
stuff.
Penny Marshall's directed a lot of cool stuff.
She has.
She directed Big.
Big is amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of the best movies of all time.
And why not get like one of the.
That would be cool.
Kind
okay,
of original
okay, okay.
Penny. You yeah, know, Penny Marshall's yeah. one of the original she's, female directors.
Yeah, but, you know.
I mean, there's a lot of young, up-and-coming female directors, obviously, that should right. have an opportunity. But I think you should get somebody who's, you know, was a trendsetter.
Right, right.
To do an episode, at sure. least.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they've been throwing Kevin Smith into
See,
all the
Jessica
superhero
Jones
stuff.
Jessica Jones and Patsy Walker, Shamil Shamakal down the street.
Shamil Shamakal, nice.
Austin Pfeffer Incorporated.
It would have to be something like that. But, yeah, no, but like Kathryn Bigelow, you know, she's
yeah.
an amazing director.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, and you know, notice I said she's an amazing director.
Oh.
Like, it doesn't matter if she's female or not. Like, Zero Dark.
No, not even Zero Dark 30. Go back to Near Dark.
Well, Near Dark, yeah. No, but
Strange
so,
Days.
With Zero, yeah. But I'm saying with Zero Dark 30, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's so great about that
Hurt
movie?
Locker.
The Hurt Locker is amazing. But no, what was great about Zero Dark 30 and you know, a lesser director would not have been able to do what she did because while they were filming, Bin Laden was caught and killed.
Right.
And she was able to pivot that story.
Yeah.
And like there is a point where it definitely feels like two different movies, but Jessica Chastain does such a good job and she's directed so well that she ties
right.
everything together. You know, that like I said, like, you know, there are other directors out there who would have done that and it would have just felt like a
two split movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
She's definitely like, you know, made her own.
Yeah.
And at kind of the James Cameron school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of directing.
I mean,
she was, you know, in a relationship with him for a while.
Was she married to him?
I don't know if she was married to him, but they, you know, they had a relationship.
Yeah. But I mean, like we've talked about the.
That's why Near Dark has most of the aliens cast.
And you forget that she directed the greatest Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze movie of all time.
Point Break. God.
I'm an FBI agent. I know, man. Ain't it cool?
Have you watched the remake of that?
I have.
Oof.
It was rough.
Oh, I called when he was going to shoot in the air and everything.
Oh, yeah. So we went and saw Inferno last weekend, just kind of calling things.
Oh, okay. I forgot that even came out.
And one, Felicity Jones is fantastic. I love her. She's beautiful. Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks.
Right.
You know? All in all, the movie's kind of a snore fest and super boring.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, keep in mind, I have not seen Da Vinci's Code or whatever
the other one was.
But I read Da Vinci's Code.
Yeah.
Anyway, or the Da Vinci Code, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a point where something happens and I lean over to Angel and I go, curse their sudden but inevitable betrayal. And then that character turned and it was like, all right, you know, she was
that
getting
kind of happens in his all his books,
but she was getting mad because I was like calling out, like I was calling the shots before they happened. So, yep, good times.
The movies are good. The books are good too.
Yeah, I don't know. The movie was pretty boring.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, the first two.
Yeah,
interesting movies.
And I really like Ben Foster. I loved him in Hell or High Water.
Yeah.
You know, and he was in it, and like even he couldn't save it.
Oh,
so all right. So how about we get to the Pacific Ocean here real quick? I'm very pleased with myself for the subtitle this week. I called it Look Who Canceled the Apocalypse because Idris Elba in that scene is so stinking powerful, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, his voice is perfect and he's standing up on top of that thing and, you know, he's rallied the troops,
right? Today.
We're canceling
on
the apocalypse.
This day.
Yeah. But this day of days.
It's like that speech, like rally the troops.
Yeah.
if they would have gave him a sword, it would have made it even better.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're canceling the apocalypse and slap the sword down.
That would be sweet.
Sorry, Riley, didn't mean to cut your arm off.
No, he would have cut Herc's arm off because he was already injured.
He was already injured.
He was already injured, Herc.
Didn't mean to cut the dog's ear off. He didn't need it anyway.
All right. I was shocked that this was 2013.
Yeah.
It feels like it came out yesterday.
Well, it's one of those movies that's very rewatchable.
Now, I've probably seen this movie 30 times.
Well.
The KB07 loves this movie.
Can't blame her.
You know, I think as far as like the modern kaiju movies go,
yeah,
this is up at the top. Like I appreciate this one more than the Godzilla reboot.
Okay.
And I mean we saw the Godzilla reboot together.
Yeah.
You know I liked that one. But like I've tried to go back and watch it and it's like
I like that one too. Like it's very rewatchable.
I'll watch it. Yeah. I think for me where it loses touch is like during the Aaron Johnson trying to get across the country to Scarlet Witch.
Not even the country.
Or the city or whatever.
Las Vegas.
But then she like ditches her kid to go try and find him, not knowing where he is or what's happening. It's
they have to get to Sokovia and stop Ultron.
To me, it's just really irresponsible parenting. And that's where it loses me,
throws you off because you're like, oh, shit, that was right before the
Age of Ultron came out. So.
It's like, oh, wait, are they husband and wife, or brother and sister?
I think the cast for Pacific Rim, first off, Guillermo del Toro, This is his masterpiece, right?
Every movie he's done, he builds a very decent cast. So.
Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
Like, you have a fun little fan fiction thing. And we'll get to that.
Yeah.
You know, but Charlie Hunnam, I think when he came off of this and there was the rumor he was going to do 50 Shades of Grey, that halted all the momentum he got from this movie.
Yeah.
Because people are like, he's going to... And then he had to go back and do
the
last
season. Can I honestly say,
season.
If he would have done 50 Shades of Grey, I probably would have seen it.
Okay.
And I mean, just because I think he is a good actor.
You didn't want to go see The Huntsman from Once Upon a Time as...
The killer from... The Fall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the killer in The Fall.
Okay. I have no idea what his name is. So, but...
Jamie Dornan.
Okay. Yeah. And then... Rinko, I don't even know how to say her last name. K-I-K-U-C-H-I. Kikuchi? Kikuchi?
I'm sorry. Where's it at?
Anyway.
Oh.
Kikuchi
sounds right.
As Mako was...
Mako.
Mako, sorry.
Mako.
I'm American. You know, I pronounce things wrong constantly.
Definitely.
But she was really cool. And like I appreciated the fact that they didn't immediately like, you know, even at the end, they didn't toss in the love interest thing.
There was the link that you were like, they might eventually become.
There was intimacy
something.
There, but it wasn't like overt, like every superhero movie.
I mean, they kissed
movie.
At the end, but it
no,
was like.
No, they didn't. They were hugging.
I thought
they were just hugging. Like, I totally would have kissed her. Oh, yeah.
If I was him, I would have, like, you know.
And then
Charlie. But he already was in her head, so he knew, like, what she would want and what she wouldn't.
Charlie Day.
But and at least she wasn't, like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of. She was very strong character.
Charlie
Day, I think, like, I don't think I had ever seen him in anything.
Yeah, so you don't watch
this.
It's Always Sunny, and you never watched Horrible Bosses.
Right. Oh, no, I had seen Horrible Bosses, but I forgot he was in that.
He was great in Horrible Bosses with Jennifer Aniston wanting to basically have sex with him constantly. And he was married and was, you know, faithful to his wife. But the Charlie Day character in this is the highlight for me.
Yeah.
You know, he's a scientist who loves kaiju. He's got all the tattoos and, you know, he knows everything about
all
of them.
He wants to be a rock star.
Right. And then when you pair him with Bern Gorman from Torchwood.
Yeah.
And Game of Thrones. It was just this magical, like, odd couple pairing.
Yeah, definitely.
That you didn't expect in this kind of movie.
I mean, Guillermo and I forget what the writer, the guy who wrote
Tom,
it.
Travis Bachman.
Beecham. Yeah, Travis Beecham.
Yeah.
They threw in the kitchen sink in this movie.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Because literally, like, it's an apocalyptic movie. It's a kaiju movie.
Yep.
It's a giant robot movie.
Yep.
And I mean, it's an action adventure.
It's a Rock'em Sock'em Robot movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little bit of everything, and you're sitting there watching it going, okay, you know, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I will say, like, there was that. And then I really like Max Martini.
Yeah.
Like, he was on The Unit.
Yep.
He was great on that show. And then Rob Kazansky as his son, Chuck.
Yeah.
You know, like... He was the spoiled, like, rock star. Like, you know, he was the rock star, right?
Yeah.
He was the one with Strike Eureka.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they ever say it that way in the movie.
Well, they keep Strike Eureka because they're doing their deepest fake Australian accent. Yeah.
Well, Max Martini's Australian.
I don't think so.
Yeah. His American accent is fake.
Oh, I thought he was American.
No. So that's how convincing he is with the American accent. And then Clifton Collins,
Clifton Collins is awesome.
That guy is a freaking chameleon, right? He can do anything.
Yeah.
And then Ron Perlman, you know, it's a Guillermo del Toro movie. You got to try to throw
Ron Perlman in there.
Right, right. But yeah, like I said, great cast. I felt like everybody was cast well. The Hannibal Chow character was
named after my favorite historical character and my second favorite Szechuan restaurant.
Szechuan. Yeah.
Well, he just mumbles like throughout the movie. He's like chewing on it like Clint Eastwood or something.
Where's my goddamn shoe? But you know, then you had the Jaegers.
Yeah.
The Jaegers were characters on their own, right? Like, you know, there's Gypsy Danger. There was you have a bunch of them in the picture. Strike Eureka, Cherno Alpha,
yeah,
Crimson Typhoon.
Crimson Typhoon.
Yeah, the one with the Asians. The triplets. Yeah. You know,
the triplets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they practice the thundercloud style.
Yeah. And they were, well, I mean, they were real triplets, too. Yeah. He actually cast triplets to play the role. Cherno Alpha with the Russians.
Dude, that was the sickest looking Jaeger, too. And like,
first generation Jaeger.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nuclear and you know, all that fun stuff and retrofitted to be modern.
Oh, yeah. It was just
those two.
Awkward looking is what it was.
Yeah. But it was a beast. You know, you knew it was a powerhouse. But yeah, they were that group, because they were husband and wife, right? Or were they brother or sister?
Nobody ever confirmed or denied.
they were great.
The guy who played was, you know, the male of the group. Mm-hmm. I talked to him at a convention, and he said they never told me.
All right.
So it was like, okay. He said we just played it away, but you know, we never told anybody how we were playing it either. So
did he tell you?
No, he didn't. Yeah,
nice.
He said it was just, you know, it's a fun thing to. For people to chew on, which he plays the master on The Strain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's playing that cloaked character.
I stopped watching that.
Oh, wow. Well, he was telling me how that suit weighs about 100 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And that, but yeah, he said that it was just fun to be in that movie and do the things. I mean, he's 7 foot tall. So they kind of built that whole apparatus around him. And, you know, obviously her, too. But him, they had to specially build the apparatus around him. But he said it was just a fun movie to work on. He said Guillermo's a fun director. So, you believe just by seeing all the behind the scenes.
Well, just any interview you've ever seen him in. But, like, the other great thing was the look and feel, right?
Yeah.
It was, and I've used this term before, but it was a lived-in universe, right?
Yeah,
we got there, and it was... You felt it.
Well, right.
And you know,
it had been, 15 years that war had been going on or whatever?
And then, but the costuming, right? Their suits, their jumpsuits, they made sense, right?
Yeah.
The internals of, you know, the giant mechs.
Well, have you ever watched any of the behind the
Shattered
Dome?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like when they're talking about the different countries building their own Jaegers.
Yeah.
And how each one would look different. Mm-hmm. But have similar things. Like they were talking about how the feet on all the Jaegers are like almost the same exact feet, but they said that from there up things start getting different.
And
I'm like, that's a cool idea to say that, like, the base of every single one of them is going to be the same because the feet are all designed by one company probably.
Yeah,
and then from there it's the countries designing off of those.
I mean, you got the difference. You got like look at the difference between Gypsy Danger, right? Yeah. The American one, the engine. Well, it looks like a hot rod
B-25 bomber type thing. Yeah,
but I mean, it was like
B-52.
It was like the hot rod, right? The engine's right there with the air intake, and then you have Stryker Eureka, which is like, you know, the South Pacific sleek, you know, just real clean lines, but then it behind all
well,
that
and
is
it's
powerhouse.
The idea that Australia, because that's what Stryker or Eureka's home country was, Australia isn't what it looks like it is. Like when you see Australia, it's like it's a beautiful country, but then you see like the creatures in Australia, you're like,
I mean, the fact that all the creatures and vegetation
are ready to
kill you.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Stryker Eureka. All the weapons are underneath that chassis.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like all of a sudden they're just like, you know, the chest opens up
it's
and there's
just the powerhouse,
cannons,
right?
And it's like, you know, that's what you would get from Australia.
Now when you say Stryker Eureka, you know, you always want to say it, Stryker Eureka.
Stryker Eureka.
But then like with Gypsy Danger, it's I want to say Gypsy Danger.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, because that old thing where he like makes fun of it and the son makes fun of it, and then when they're trapped in the middle of the ocean, it's like, get him, Gypsy!
Get him, Gypsy! I will say, like, story-wise,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it is what it is. It's a monster movie.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you don't... It's besides the beginning when they're telling you the story,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to really think that much about the movie.
Even a little bit.
Yeah, it's like... you know, they give you an idea of what the drift is.
Yeah.
They give you the whole background of what started it.
They set you up for what the movie is.
Yeah.
Right. Unfortunately, it's 18 minutes in and then you see Pacific Rim. Like that's one of the kind of things. It's like, all right, like, did we need all of that?
Yeah.
You know,
you think you did.
Do you think so?
Okay. Yeah. I think that was Guillermo and Travis's way of, we'll give you the story at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then just watch this like monster fighting, robot fighting fest.
Yeah.
And you know, by the end of that 18 minutes, you know where you are, you know what's been going on, you know what the drift is, you know what Jaegers are, and you know what Kaiju are.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's all you need to know.
At the end of that, when you see Gypsy Danger on the Alaskan shore, it jumps 3 years.
Yeah.
Or whatever, three or five.
Right.
It
just tells you
it's
what year in the Kaiju war that they're in. You already know what they are.
And the best part, though, is we're with, Raleigh.
Right.
Right? Like, to be with him and seeing what it's like outside of the war.
Well, and that's the thing, is when they introduce the movie, you just hear a voice.
Right.
You don't know who it is.
No.
And then when they go to the alert and he gets up and he starts talking, you're like, oh, okay, that's who that was.
Yeah.
But like the
category 3 biggest there is.
Right. And the references to like there being original just one pilots.
Yeah.
And that comes back in the movie because that's when you find out that Idris Elba's character was one of those pilots.
Well, no, he was the first one to pilot because his co-pilot died.
I thought he was just
he was the only other, like, you know, because what Raleigh did. Right.
Right.
Raleigh was the second one to, you know, get a dual drift Jaeger back.
Oh, okay.
Or fight with just by himself.
Right.
And Stacker Pentecost was the first in Tokyo or Hong Kong or wherever it was.
Right.
Because that was weird. But the other thing with him is, like, even back then, they didn't worry about like radiation shielding.
Right,
so he had, like, you know, he was taking those iodine pills constantly and
That's what they showed the dangers of those first few years of just we slapped these things together and got out there. And
well, they had to, right?
Yeah.
You know, I love that they opened the movie by destroying San Francisco.
Well, sure.
You know,
it's the new New York.
It is. It absolutely is. London, too, gets destroyed a lot. But and then they kind of, like you said, the way they hop through.
Yeah.
Now, I like the way the Incredible Hulk, the Ed Norton Incredible Hulk movie, handled like the kind
the
of origin
of the
Hulk, because it was just kind of there. So I always feel like, you know, do I need 18 minutes of it? Probably not. I think they could have figured out a way.
If you get a movie like Incredible Hulk, you do not.
But they didn't do an actual opening credits.
Well, right.
So that was what was different.
Yeah.
We just jumped right in.
And the whole thing is like, you know, this was a universe that was just created. It wasn't something from an established line. It wasn't Godzilla versus giant robots. It was just a new creation.
It was
so
giant
an
robots
minute
versus
opener,
new giant monsters. Yeah.
Yeah. So, an 18 minute opener totally makes sense for something like that, because I'm going to need a little bit of an origin story, and it's not one where I'm going to have to go read a comic book, which they've done.
Right.
But it's like, I don't have to go read this, or I don't have to go look at this.
The comics that they did, it was called Tales from the Drift.
Yeah.
And it was about a married couple.
Well, that's the second one. There was the graphic novel that was actually done. I didn't read that. I've got them both, but I haven't
read either one. But Tales from the Drift, it was four or six issues?
Four or five, yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, but like the other one is Tales from Year One.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I think I thought it was Year Zero or something.
Maybe Year Zero, yeah. But I mean, it's one of those things where you didn't have to go read that because the 18 minutes gave you what you needed.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that for a movie like that, it's very handy. I mean, and that's the only time that Guillermo's used it, because Hellboy, I mean, you were right in the story.
Yeah.
I mean, you got an origin, but it was part of the story.
And you had to, like, you know, you had, because, like, if all of a sudden there's Hellboy for people who
Guillermo with that adapting a comic book, he adapted it from the comic book.
So
I mean, it's dead on the comic book, but like I said, with this,
it's
a new universe. So it's something that they created.
Was Pan's Labyrinth, that was a new universe too, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
I feel like this, like, while Pan's Labyrinth looks beautiful, there's like zero substance there.
Okay,
I've never seen that. It's good. It's good, and I enjoy watching it, and I love the creatures.
I mean, I've seen the visuals in that, but I've never watched.
But like, I feel like this, because I didn't think Pan's Labyrinth was something else before, right?
Right.
I feel like this universe that he created was great, and the fact that in 2018 we're gonna get Pacific Rim Maelstrom, directed by Steven S. DeKnight.
Yeah.
Double thumbs up right there, man. I'm stoked for that.
Hopefully, it's good.
Yeah, but you have a fun theory that we kind of like to go back and forth with on this, because of the brothers and because of, you know, Charlie Hunnam, Jax Teller.
Yeah, the Jax Teller thing Sons of Anarchy.
Like, let's share, like, you know, because I really do think this is a cool little bit of Yancey.
Yancey, yeah. So my idea was that, because by the end of Sons of Anarchy, Jax had two sons.
Abel and...
I forget the
second one, because he was
just a baby. They left. They left, but they were still in the San Francisco area, because obviously that's where Pacific Rim starts out. And I was like, always said that maybe they're the sons of Jax Teller.
Right.
And I was like, that would be such a funny idea. Well, that.
And I like the way you explain it, because they became wards of the state.
Yeah.
So they didn't know they were Tellers.
Right.
They had a different name.
And then
name,
they were adopted.
And they were adopted. And then they figure out that, like, oh, hey, like, we could fight.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
we're good fighters.
We're not the smartest, but we fight for what we believe in and that kind of stuff. Because I mean, at the end of the day, that's Jax Teller.
And I mean, machines. Like, not motorcycles, but giant machines. It's like, okay, you know? And then I was looking around, and, like, I watched a lot of the special features I hadn't watched recently, and found out that the Beckett brothers had a sister.
Yeah.
And that, and it's like, okay, where'd she come from? It's like, there blows my entire idea, but it's like, okay.
Thomas Teller.
Yeah.
Was the second baby.
Right.
So the Becketts. Who are the Becketts?
What
you said, the Becketts,
that's Riley and
and so they have a sister
have a sister named Jasmine,
okay,
who was in the story but wasn't in the story. So like, they, I guess the thing was that after Yancey died, she disappeared.
Okay.
And then I'm like, oh, maybe they'll use her, like,
in Maelstrom
eventually or something.
I mean, because he's not coming back for it.
Yeah, so,
which
I'm like,
is fine, you know.
Is anybody coming back from the first one?
I guess we could look it up.
Yeah,
but
I don't,
like,
know if they've even, like, said yet.
Like, if anyone comes back, like, maybe Max.
I see Charlie and Byrne coming back.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great, because they'd be a little bit older. They're experts. They've drifted with the kaiju brain.
Right.
And,
yeah,
you know, Perlman will be back, I'm sure.
Maybe not. It's not Guillermo directing it. So.
But,
you know.
Yeah, I don't know. At the end of the day, it's just a really fun movie.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun movie.
You know, like I said, it's light on story.
Sit through the credits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the end credits.
End credits. Sit through the credits. There's a stinger.
Mm-hmm. You know,
just sit through the credits for that cool sequence with the 3D images of all
the Jaegers,
kaijus and
the
Jaegers.
Just the outlines, the wireframes of it.
Yeah.
You know, interesting thing, it did 411 million worldwide. 114 million of that being in China alone, which was its largest market.
Yeah.
You know, I think this was one of the first mainstream movies to really like, you know, embrace shooting in, you know, the South Pacific and Asia, having Asian characters in like really important roles.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, you know, showing it there and, you know, audiences reacting to it.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, Age of Ultron tried to get away with that by doing the stuff they did with Korea.
Yeah.
I don't think they succeeded as much as this one did, just because Amadeus Cho's mom was not super cool in Age of Ultron. You know, they did the, they went back to the well with the, you know, the Hardstone thing.
Yeah. You know. I don't know. Like I said, this is just one of those very rewatchable movies that I'll just pop in every once in a while.
Absolutely. I mean, that's
why. Let it play in the background. It's a definitely let it play in the background movie. And the soundtrack, I mean, it's
So that was the funny thing I was going to talk about, right?
Yeah.
The soundtrack, when you listen to it outside of the movie,
yeah,
you realize how awesome it is. When you listen to
I've got it in my vehicle. So.
But when you listen to it in the movie,
yeah,
like, it's not that you don't notice it. It's just so intertwined with the fabric of the film,
the story.
It doesn't stand out, but it doesn't take away.
Like, when you're listening to it by itself, it's like
it's powerful.
The movie is there. Yeah. It's like Star Wars. Yeah. It's like when you listen to that soundtrack. The funny thing about it is it's Raymond Dwanji, I think.
Okay.
He does the music for Game of Thrones also.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like definitely that theme, like that pumped up theme there.
Do you remember the old the public radio station that at Xavier, when they used to do the Star Wars radio play?
Yep. I remember that.
Like the soundtrack from this, like the score, just kind of reminds me of that, right? Yeah. Because like they would do the vocal stuff, but then they would play the music, like they would have the music incorporated, and like you would see.
Oh, yeah.
And even though it wasn't Mark and Carrie and,
and
you know, Harrison, at no point did you not see them.
Yeah.
Especially when the music kicked in.
Right.
And like you were saying, like with this one, you see the movie, right?
Right.
You visualize exactly where they were at that spot. Even though during the movie, it doesn't smack you in the face.
But it's definitely not like overpowering the movie. It is part of the story.
Yeah. Like the final, like you know, the little scene there where they're limping towards the breach.
Yeah.
And stuff. Like, that's probably the music at its most powerful.
Yeah.
Because it's the scene where it's like, okay, it's lifting up the story. It's lifting up Gypsy Danger. And, you know, it's you know, giving us the intimacy that we need as fans.
Right, yeah.
To connect with this giant robot, you know, 20,000 leagues under the sea.
Yeah.
About to, you know, jump into another dimension.
Yeah.
You know, so, no, I'm like, you know, I definitely agree. The music for this is excellent.
Yep. Everything about this movie is really excellent.
You know, like I said, like the lack of like, you know, real cohesive story. Like, it's a bunch of
doesn't have to be cohesive story. This is a nod to the kaiju movies of the 60s and 70s.
So like 2013, like there was a lot that came out that year. This was far and away the most fun movie that year. And like I said, most rewatchable for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, the nod to the kaiju movies of the 60s and 70s is there.
Yeah.
And that. So, yeah.
I think if something I had to say something disappointed me about the movie, it was the kaiju action figures. And the Jaeger action figures.
Yeah.
They look great, but they're so fragile.
Yeah.
You know, I have a bunch of them and I refuse to open them.
They should have done like die casts of the.
Like what the Disney store does with the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like that would have been great because they'd be all over this freaking office.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those were cool design, but I would like to see them as, you know, snap together models or something.
That would have been cool too.
Yeah.
So what is it? Is it Touchstone? Legendary? It's Legendary, right?
It's Legendary, yeah.
So Legendary, if you're listening, Johnny is recommending some snap together models.
Why not?
Some die cast figures.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they do the Star Wars like titanium ships and stuff like that. Like, how cool would it be to have like, you know, just like the small, like even like the chess figure size of like the lead, like Marvel DC figures.
Yep.
Like a Gypsy Danger like that. They did the HeroClix thing.
Yeah, I forgot about those.
With the Pacific Rim. Yeah. Like, those were actually kind of cool. And it's like, you know, I would buy them if I knew which one I was getting.
Right.
Like, but I don't want to do the blind box and get the same one over and over and over again. But
I think I bought one of those and I got Gypsy Danger. So, you know.
I think you got it because it was out and the guy.
I just wanted to see what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, NECA did a good job on the figures.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially like, yeah, the Jaegers are kind of very breakable, but like the Kaiju were big enough that like they're not as much in danger. I think I have Leatherback, which was the giant ape looking one.
So. Knife head.
Yeah, there was knife head too. Yeah.
But yeah. All right.
So
all in all, I think, you know, we both, you know, I really wish we didn't agree as much as we do on this. But I mean, we saw this together in the theater. No. Oh, no, we didn't. That's right.
I wouldn't see it like on a morning.
Because I saw it and then you saw it.
Yeah.
But, and then we talked about it like nonstop for like a month.
Yep.
But yeah, no, this was definitely one of my favorites of 2013 and just of all time. I mean,
and that's why it's certified infamous.
Certified infamous. Boom.
Wow.
I need to get a a little effects thing for
like a stamp, like a
toof, toof.
Yeah.
But cool. All right. Anything else you want to talk about before you head on vacation and leave me alone?
Yes, vacation.
Johnny will be in the most magical place on earth in a few dozen hours.
Yeah, a few days.
First things first, you're going to see Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I'll see that tomorrow.
So,
and then
yeah,
be on the road all day Saturday.
If you're listening to this Friday or Saturday or Sunday, you know, we will, by Sunday, both of us will have seen Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And then friend of the show, Daryl, will join me Sunday when I go see it. We're going to go see it together and then come back here and review it.
Awesome.
Because, you know, Johnny needs a much deserved vacation.
Yes, I do.
And then next week, since you're going to be gone, David's going to fill in. You know, fan favorite, David Griffin, where we're going to talk about Farscape.
Cool.
So
I look forward to that one.
Yeah, definitely.
So I can correct you on everything you get wrong.
Well, Farscape is my favorite TV show. So, you know, I'm sure there's plenty I'll get
anything wrong. Then.
But, have you been watching South Park?
No.
So they have these things called member berries.
Yeah.
I think I told you about them. Where they're like, remember Star Wars? Remember Bespin? Bespin was so great. Yeah, I remember. We keep joking. We're just going to do member berries the whole time.
Oh, my Lord.
Remember John Crichton? Remember the wonders he saw?
Oh, my God.
But no, the member berries, though, there's a great one where...
And I'll stop.
Well, no, there's a funny one where they talk about is Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
And they go, remember Wedge? He was fantastic. but yeah, so we're going to do that and it'll be fun. And then Johnny will come back and tell us all about Disney World. And we'll probably talk about Doctor Strange again a little bit. Very last thing. You watched episode 2 of The Walking Dead, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I did not.
Yes.
Because I'm not watching this show anymore. I did hear, though, that it was better than the first episode.
But boring is what I
was. It boring still? Okay.
I didn't think it was boring. Because it was Ezekiel, and I was looking forward to seeing what they did with that. Yeah. And I totally called the end of the episode before it was halfway over.
What was the end?
Because it's Carol and Morgan,
right,
who meet Ezekiel, who never met Ezekiel.
Right.
I told,
they were both dead by the time Ezekiel came.
We were watching, and I told her, I said, probably about 20 minutes into it, I said, by the end of this episode, I said, Ezekiel's going to call Carol on her bullshit because she was doing that whole Holly Homemaker thing and that. And I said, he's going to call her on her bullshit by the end because she was stealing stuff throughout the episode to escape. She was going to leave.
Oh.
And she told Morgan.
Were they captives?
Well, no, but it was the whole thing where Morgan's captive pretty much because she just wanted to go.
Yeah.
Like she did at the last year when he was hunting her down. And I told her, I said, by the end, I said, he's going to call her on a bullshit. And literally, it got to almost to the end, and she was trying to leave. And he lit up a torch pyre and said, where are you going?
Yeah.
Pretty much, where are you going? And then he told her his story, which was the story from the comic book. And but there's Ezekiel has a bodyguard in this show called Jerry.
Jerry
stole the show.
Jerry the bodyguard
stole the show.
All right.
So
real quick though, the tiger, right? Sheeta.
Yeah.
I feel like they shouldn't have shown anything of the tiger in the previews.
Yeah.
Would it have been a cooler...
When they rolled into the auditorium where his throne is.
Yeah.
It would have been cool if they would have just like left it for that.
Okay.
But I was like still like hyped up to see what they were going to do with this. She doesn't look totally real, obviously.
It's CG, yeah.
Right. But there's a part where there's a glee choir singing because obviously Ezekiel is keeping his kingdom in a happy place. And when the glee choir is singing, they're just showing like sequences in the kingdom. And it shows Shiva just sitting on a porch licking her paw.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's the realest she looks in the whole episode.
All right.
But it was so sweet looking that it was like, okay, I can get past the CG tiger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just other Walking Dead news. The this week, issue 160 came out.
Part, I haven't read it yet.
Part 4 of 6 of The Whisper War. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait for these last two issues.
I mean,
of
we had 2 deaths in the last issue, so...
The things that happen here, and there's a few cool little surprises,
right?
Not spoiling anything, were great.
Okay,
like you know, this is like if at the end of this, Kirkman announced, you know, we're gonna do
the
one,
end of the book,
we're gonna do one more year.
Oh, okay,
like just like Invincible, like, you know, 13 more issues or whatever. I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like honestly, like even kind of barring how this turns out. I might be good. Like, you know, I mean, I'll keep reading it because it's great.
Sure.
But like, if they were like, yeah, this is it. We decided to finish it. You know, no fanfare or anything.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So this is better than the All Out War.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At least I like it better.
Okay.
I think it's more suspenseful. I think they're using the characters better.
Yeah.
Especially Negan.
Sure.
You know, Rick is in a different place. Carl's in a different place. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, on that note. We happen to be called the Infamous Podcast. You may or may not know that at this point.
I hope you do.
Yeah, I hope you do because you had to look us up and add us to your podcatcher. My name is Brian.
Johnny.
And we have new episodes that come out every Friday. If you like what you hear, we are on, you know, we're on iTunes, but you can also find us on Stitcher and Google Play. You know, pretty much anywhere where you can get a podcast. I listen on Overcast. To my podcasts, not just my podcast, but you know, if they have the ability, I do.
Right.
I have a new one called Found
okay.
that I really like right now. If you like what you hear, 5-star reviews are always welcome. We got a new one this week, so
cool.
we're moving up.
Appreciate
there.
It.
And make sure you share this with your friends.
Yeah.
We're trying some new things with you know, less every week. You know. Covering whatever the new show is and things like that with some things that are kind of a little more fun to talk about and
right.
you know longer lasting
yeah
if you will evergreen but yeah so let us know what you think let us know what you'd like us to talk about you know it'd be great to hear you can reach us at contact@infamouspodcast.com and obviously we're at infamouspodcast.com and then we're on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Infamous Podcast.
Yep.
And you're on Twitter and Facebook as
Johnny Podorf.
And Instagram.
Yes.
And I'm on most social networks as Brian Tudor, all one word. Links to everything in our show notes. Any last words before you go put on your mouse ears and eat a churro?
Have a good week off for me.
All right. Have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever you're listening to this. Later.
See ya.